Hello, you are listening to KVNF, Mountain Grown Community Radio, and Local Motion, our weekly local affairs show. For KVNF News, I'm Eric Gould. On this edition of Local Motion, we'll go to Montrose, where about 40 people gathered on December 15th to protest at the offices of the Bureau of Land Management on Townsend Avenue. Concerned citizens from the North Fork Valley and beyond were among the protesters, who were there to show their opposition to the recent BLM decision to allow SG interests to start oil and gas development at Bull Mountain. The protesters held signs and waved to passing cars on Townsend Avenue, many of which honked horns in support.
When the water we need is under attack, what do we do? Fight back! When the air we breathe is under attack, what do we do?
Stand up, fight back!
When the water we need is under attack, what do we do?
Stand up, fight back!
When the air we breathe is under attack, what do we do?
Stand up, fight back!
Before we go back to Montrose, let's fill in some background information. The BLM announced its decision to allow the project on October 6th. The decision came after more than a decade of planning and debate. The BLM approved the 146-well development plan by SG Interests. The plan provides a framework for developing the nearly 20,000-acre area, with future drilling applications subject to site-specific review. The approved plan includes 4 wastewater injection wells, up to 33 well pads, as well as new roads, pipelines, and compressor stations. The project area is south of McClure Pass and about 30 miles northeast of Paonia, and is bisected by Colorado Highway 133. It involves 440 acres of BLM land, with the rest being private, but it includes nearly 13,000 acres of federal minerals. The remaining minerals are privately owned. Over the past 10 years, the BLM conducted numerous public hearings and collected thousands of comments about the Bull Mountain project. Many of the protesters at the BLM office in Montrose felt that the thousands of comments against the project were not adequately factored against the few comments in favor of the project. At the rally, BLM Public Information Officer Shannon Borders talked about the process.
Well, good morning. We were aware of this rally today, and we certainly welcome folks to come out and share their comments, and we have encouraged the public and been very transparent throughout this process and given multiple opportunities for the public to come out and provide comments on the regarding the Bull Mountain Master Development Plan.
And we've talked a little bit about it before, and maybe you could just help me out again. There were a great deal of comments against the Bull Mountain compared to the ones that were for it. And I think a lot of these people here feel like their voices really weren't heard. How would you respond to that?
Certainly. Maybe we need to step back just a second and talk about where we've come from. This project has been ongoing for multiple years, and in October we signed a decision record allowing for the development of 146 wells and 4 pads and 4 disposal wells within the North Fork Valley. So that decision was signed, and like I said, we encouraged public comments throughout the process. And as I explained in an earlier interview with you, our public comment process, it's not a democratic or a vote process. What we look at are for substantive comments, so that means we look at every comment that is submitted and determine how they are relevant to the analysis, and we respond to those substantive comments within that analysis.
And so you feel like a majority of the comments that were supported against the Bull Mountain procedure or process were not substantive?
Oh, I didn't say that. I said we look at all of the comments and then incorporate that into the analysis as it's relevant to the project.
And tell me about where they're at now. I know there's only four pads that were talked about, but only one of them right now is being developed. Is that correct?
Okay. So what we did is we approved one application per permit to drill in that analysis. So that may be what you're thinking about.
And one thing a lot of people wonder about is this going to open the door for much more oil and gas extraction in the North Fork Valley? Do you think that that's going to be coming in the future?
You know, I can't speculate on what might happen in the future. I can only talk about what we approved in this analysis.
How hard is it to come to a conclusion after 10 years and there's so many different people with so many different voices in this process? Is it really a, I guess my question is, do you feel like in this case the process worked?
We have an amazing group of ologists. These are folks that have come from every type of background and are professionals in our office. And we actually put together an interdisciplinary team of all of these ologists, whether it's hydrologist, biologist, ecologist, all of those folks come together to determine the best path forward and a path that's right for our public lands so that we protect the resource for this generation and future generations to come.
How do you feel about sometimes people consider the BLM the enemy?
You know, I hope that nobody feels like we're an enemy. People are more than welcome to come into our office, ask us questions, provide comments, and participate in the process. And that's what you're seeing here today. And we always welcome feedback and input into our process.
Well, thank you for your time, Shannon.
Thank you.
One of the protesters who took issue with the BLM's way of listening to the comments was Lisa Nierman, owner of Sage Valley Farm in the North Fork Valley.
I understand that the BLM has a system in which what they call, they call it that they're not voting. They're not calling all of our comments votes. They kind of pool all of our common comments together. And to me, that doesn't really seem fair because it seems like the people who are going for the permits for the wells seem to have a greater voice than ours.
And why do you think that is?
Well, I understand that part of the mission of the BLM is supposedly to manage resources. I get that. However, the location of the Bull Mountain Master Development Plan is not very good for the people of the North Fork Valley, considering all of the farms.
Some people here are fine with fracking as long as it's not in their backyard. Do you think that's a legitimate argument?
No, I don't. I would like to see fracking banned. I think, you know, it poisons the air, it poisons the water, it poisons the soil. And also another point that's not brought up very often is how much water fracking uses. Right now, the Gunnison Basin is at 42% of normal. It's been a very dry winter, and each frack that happens can use from 2 to 10 million gallons of water, and each well can get fracked multiple times. And so that's a lot of water, especially for us in the Mountain West, where water is a precious resource.
A lot of oil and gas executives I talk to and people in the BLM talk about sharing the land, multi-use land, recreation, agriculture, farming, ranching, and fracking. Do you feel like there's room for everything?
I feel like there should be room for things that don't do damage. Fracking does damage, and even though we hear a lot about how Colorado has the strictest regulations probably in the nation, the regulations don't make fracking safe. They merely tell people how much they're allowed to be fracked. Fracking will never be safe. There are always spills, there are always releases, and there are more and more studies coming out now proving that how people are negatively affected physically by fracking.
And my last question is about where do we go from here? Right now the Bull Mountain issue is in litigation. The courts will decide ultimately if the BLM's decision will stand. If it does, and the SG interests process and procedure goes and the fracking opens up in the North Fork Valley, how do we all get along?
That's a great question. I'm not really sure how to answer that because I know that there is a very large contingency, not only in the North Fork, but in a lot of the surrounding communities that are supplied with food from the North Fork that are very much against fracking. And I think we could see our voices becoming much louder if this Bull Mountain stands.
The Bull Mountain decision is currently being contested in court. A handful of environmental groups challenged the ruling, and many of the protesters in Montrose hope that the courts will ultimately rule against the decision. Another local stakeholder, who preferred only to give her first name, Lysandra, talked about why she was at the protest. She also talked about a gift for the BLM that the protesters brought along with them.
I'm a newbie to the North Fork Valley, a refugee from California, and it took me many years to figure out where I wanted to relocate, and I settled on the North Fork after plotting organic CSAs on a map of Colorado. And I thought, oh, that place looks like it'll be good. And then, of course, came to the North Fork Valley and was swept up by the charming community and the art scene and KVNF, you know, all the wonderful assets of this area. And then went through a painstaking process to relocate my mother, my business, sell another business, move myself, too many cats to count. And I'm concerned by oil and gas extraction in the headwaters. It's a tricky problem, of course, because we all rely on it, on energy and the comforts of that. But there are ways that we can invest and encourage other industries. I mean, SEI is based in Paonia, and what was the grant? I guess it was maybe the state of Colorado in recent years that was encouraging solar education for out-of-work coal mining families or families that had formerly been employed by the coal mines. Things like that. Let's encourage that in this area because the food in the community is too much to risk, and the water, in the interest of a small industry, especially in the discussion of domestic energy independence, which is a lot of the dialogue that you hear. I'm not convinced with the different pipeline infrastructure that's being developed across the West and Jordan Cove, that a lot of the oil and gas that would be extracted from our area wouldn't be shipped overseas to China, which has a huge demand for it.
I came in right at the end of the presentation of the goods there in the little wheelbarrow for the BLM folks. What was all that about? Tell me a little bit about that.
We submitted to the BLM an edible comment, a visual aid of what's at stake in the North Fork Valley. And it was a bushel donated by a number of farms and food producers in the North Fork Valley, all locally grown items. And so we had some mutton kielbasa from Desert Weir. We had some goat cheese from Terra Fata, bread and produce, kind of the full gamut of everything that's afforded in this valley, which is very unique, considering the North Fork is one of the highest concentration of organic farms in the state of Colorado, and indeed, I think, in the entire country. So it was a nice way to say thank you for disregarding our comments, and here's what we're concerned about, and we want you to take this home and enjoy this weekend and contemplate this and remember that we're close to home too.
Tell me a little bit about what you think about NIMBY, not in my backyard, and the argument that fracking is okay as long as it's not in my backyard.
Yeah, that's a tough one. Again, you know, humans existed on this planet and lived much more harmoniously with nature, certainly not with our creature comforts that we enjoy now, but certainly in much greater balance, not grossly overpopulated, not, you know, our food not coming from a supermarket. And I think we have the ability to get back to that, especially with a lot of the great technology that we have. But a lot of the technology is directed in other ways or is obscured. As far as the not in my backyard argument, yeah, I definitely don't want it in my backyard. I don't want it to go off to somebody else either. And how do you do that?
And my last question is about where we go from now. Suppose in the end the court decides to allow the decision to stay and the valley is opened up for more fracking. How do we get along?
That's a great question also. I think it boils down to commenting and resisting from various avenues in the courts, out on the ground, you know, sort of direct action, which is hard. People are scared by conflict. I think we have to come from all directions and create groups. And I think the most important thing is to create community dialogue now and bridge those gaps. You know, there are folks that are pro-fracking. They want the jobs. They want the industry. You know, they're arguing like, hey, you like gas in your car, you like gas in your on your stove, and I get it. We need to start having these discussions and find common ground. What is the common ground? We all have an interest in public lands. We all want a scenic, peaceful enjoyment of home. We want our children to be healthy. We want clean water, clean air, clean food, these sorts of things. And so there is that commonality, and we need to find a way to bridge that finally. And I think we really need to invest in community rights. Truly, if our government is not representative of us at the level of the BLM or, you know, the state or whatever, the greatest place we have an effect is in our own community.
You are listening to Local Motion on KVNF, Mountain Grown Community Radio. In this show, we've been talking about a protest that was held in Montrose on December 15th. Citizens and stakeholders gathered for a peaceful protest to demonstrate against the Bureau of Land Management's decision to allow oil and gas development at Bull Mountain in the North Fork Valley. So far, we've heard from BLM spokesperson Shannon Borders, as well as from two of the protesters. Now, we'll talk with Kurt Grimm, who was at the protest, to share some of his firsthand experience with fracking.
I spent the last 28 years in the silt area and survived the gas patch in Garfield County.
Okay, why don't you just tell me a little bit about why you're out here today?
It's a long story there. I've actually had a gas pad show up in my home in my farm in silt, 400 yards upwind of it, which virtually made it unlivable with the fumes and the nonstop truck traffic. And I'd hate to see the same thing happen that's happened in Garfield County happen in the Paonia-Hodgkiss Crawford area, the land of the most concentrated organic farms in western Colorado. It's just not a very appropriate place for that kind of industry.
Do you feel like the system works? Do you feel like the people's voices are heard?
I would like to think so. It's a tough deal when you're dealing with big energy, big business, and a government that supports that industry wherever it possibly can. So I know that the BLM is kind of under the pressure to fast track any applications, and that's just real unfortunate. Just hate to see this happening in such a pristine area.
What were some of the side effects that you saw there in silt in Garfield County?
Air pollution, huge amount of increased traffic, and the answer to economic development in rural places is not short-term, high-paying short-term jobs. It seems to cause more problems than not. There's not a lot of jobs in rural places, but there is opportunity. My kids grew up in Garfield County. None of them ever worked in oil and gas. My personal company has done business with oil and gas 15 years ago, and we no longer do at all. There's work around. You know, we can be innovative, and the North Fork Valley is such a unique place. It's just really not the place for a big oil and gas drilling operation.
What do you think about the so-called NIMBY argument, not in my backyard?
Well, we all need energy. There's an awful lot of natural gas being produced, but what people don't realize is that the prices got real low. They stopped drilling in a lot of the areas that they were drilling, the Piceance Basin, the Colorado River area. Prices were low because the market was saturated. And it's just, Yeah, it's going to be in somebody's backyard. The people that have not experienced it just have no idea how dirty it is. It's a clean burning fuel, they say, but it's not clean getting it. The extraction process is just totally ruined. The silt rifle, parachute, battlement mesa. You can talk to anyone that lives there, unless they're in the business and making money out of it. No one has much good to say about it.
Do you feel like that there is room to share the land?
In some areas, I think that it has to be. And there is an awful lot of gas production on public lands in western Colorado, Mesa County, Garfield County, Rio Blanco. There's lots of development there for natural gas. And there's some places that it's done pretty well. But anytime you have it happening upstream from a large organic farm community, there's going to be accidents, there's going to be spills, there's going to be condensate trucks that are going to crash on little mountain roads. It happened all over Garfield County, not quite so sensitive an area. And there's be a lot of large landowners that really like it, because they will make money from them pulling gas and oil from underneath their land if they own the mineral rights. So it's got to happen to some degree. We don't need to drill it all today and pace ourselves a little bit. Colorado's a huge producer of natural gas. I don't believe we should be drilling here and polluting the Wild West for oil and gas companies to export energy overseas. To me, that seems crazy.
The Bull Mountain decision right now is in litigation. If they do decide to go ahead and allow it and fracking comes to the North Fork Valley, how can we all get along?
Well, there's some model programs in Garfield County after all the problems they've had there. The Garfield County oil and gas liaison, a full-time position with the county there to help mitigate problems between landowners and residents and industry. We can work together if it's going to happen, it's going to happen. There has been wells in that part of the county for a long time, and there is a connecting pipeline that goes over into Garfield County from there. The amount of traffic going up 133 would be a real problem. The amount of nonstop truck traffic is unbelievable, especially during the fracking process. So one way or another, we have to get along and make it work. But it's really endangering the crown jewel of Delta County is the Paonia, Hodgkiss Wine District and organic farms. And I just don't think it's very compatible in that valley. It's not the best place for it.
While most of the protesters were from the North Fork Valley, some others were on hand from hometowns further away. Here, Kirsten Atkins from Crested Butte talks about why she thinks that fracking is a local issue for everyone.
Well, you know, the North Fork is in our neighborhood. These are our friends and our neighbors. And we know that the fracking industry and the coal industry is potentially threatening the watershed over in the North Fork. And we get a significant number of fruits and vegetables from the North Fork Valley come over for our fabulous farmers market that we have every Sunday. And, you know, a lot of the fruits and vegetables that are in our local health food store also come from the North Fork Valley. And we're neighbors, and we want to support our neighbors in this fight to save the water of the North Fork Valley.
Do you feel like the people's voices are being heard? Do you feel like this is a process that works?
Well, unfortunately, I think, especially under the current administration, the people's voices are not being heard, and the powers that be are putting profits before the planet, putting profits before people. And, you know, it's greed, and it's short-sighted. It's short-sighted to destroy the planet for short-term profits. And we're looking towards the future. You know, we've got children and grandchildren, and we want them to have clean water. We also feel strongly that bringing our communities together and our voices, raising our voices up, we can have strength and power. They can't take power away from us. And it's important that we look, you know, there's a lot of overwhelming issues we see on the news and the internet every day, all these different things that are happening. But if we focus locally, we can stand strong and stand together and bring our voices to the forefront and really make a difference.
A lot of people say fracking is okay as long as it's not in my backyard. Do you support that argument?
No, I don't support that argument. Fracking is not okay. Fracking has been shown to, I just saw a recent study that it was a significant contributor to low birth weight to babies in Pennsylvania. It's not healthy. It's not healthy for the water. It's not healthy for the air. It's not healthy for any community. So I don't support fracking in our community or anybody else's community either. You know, if the oil and gas executives think it's so clean, then why don't they try drinking that frack water? Why don't they put the fracking wells in their backyards? They're not going to because they know it's not safe.
And the last question is about where do we go from here? Right now, the Bull Mountain decision is in litigation, so ultimately the courts will decide. If they do decide to allow the BLM decision to stand and the valley will be opened up for more fracking, how do you think we get along? What do we do then?
How the community proceeds, I think it's really up to the community to decide how they proceed and how, you know, how far they want to take it. Obviously, there are a number of ways that people might want to be involved in some kind of direct action type campaigns. And I think that there's probably folks that feel like that they wanted to by whatever nonviolent means, to do whatever it takes to protect their farms.
You've been listening to KVNF and Local Motion. We've been talking about a protest at the BLM offices in Montrose on December 15th by people opposing fracking on Bull Mountain in the North Fork Valley. We've heard from stakeholders and from a BLM official. Finally, we'll hear from a protester from the Next Generation. Several families and children were on hand at the protest. And here, a 14-year-old student named Ohana talks about why he was there. Ohana was born in the North Fork Valley and recently returned there after living in California. He is a student at the Paonia Experiential Leadership Academy. What made you want to come out here and protest?
My school is coming, and I guess I just wanted to let people know what we think.
Do you think that fracking is always bad, or do you think that it can coexist with people?
I think we should find other resources or other forms of energy to use instead of fracking. I think it's bad, always, or harmful.
Have you seen any bad effects already in the North Fork Valley, or is it just something that you're afraid might happen?
It's mostly something that I'm afraid will happen, and it's going to happen soon if it's not stopped.
And you've been listening to Local Motion. We've heard from a variety of viewpoints on the Bull Mountain oil and gas development project. And one thing is certain. Whether the courts ultimately allow the project or not, the issue and the practice of fracking the North Fork Valley are not going to be going away. For KVNF News, I'm Eric Gould. Thanks for listening.